Lord Jesus, thank you that you're here today with us. Pray that these words will be your words. Pray that your spirit will be here to help us hear them. Thank you, Lord, for everyone who's here to serve you. In Jesus' name, we pray, amen. All right, so I'll read to you Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So in almost every one of Paul's letters, he has a message of encouragement. So it's pretty fair to say, in our life following Christ, we're going to need encouragement, right? Of all the books that Paul wrote, everyone has encouragement. So we can get the wrong idea that when we believe in Christ, everything should be just sunshine and rainbows all the time. And that's not the case, right? Jesus was very specific that take heart, he's overcome the world, but many troubles would come, right? So we want to remember that as we talk anytime about how we can encourage other people. So you know, we have an enemy, right? We've talked about that. It comes to destroy, it comes to kill, it comes to steal. And that enemy shows up the very second we believe in Jesus, right? Because now we're against him as well. We're against that enemy. So when we remember, the only way we're going to overcome is to remember our faith in Jesus Christ, right? That's where we as believers are called to build each other up, right? That's why when we come together in church, or we come together on a Wednesday night, or even when two of us get together, right, we're supposed to encourage each other, to build each other up that we're following God. So, and for me, you know, encouraging people is more about me being obedient. It's not so much the specifics of God told me to do this, God told me to do that. The idea for all of us is that we're going to be obedient to what he calls each one of us to do. He's given me certain things that I'm called to do. He's given me certain people that I interact with. He's given me certain locations to be at. My job is to be obedient. And we can all be obedient, right? We, you know, when Jenny says, I'm going to bring snacks for Wednesday night, I'm not the guy that should bring snacks. I won't think of that. You know, it's just not something I'm good at. And I'm glad she's good at it. But I can prepare for class. I can be ready for class. And that's something that I can do, right? So we all work together to build each other up. So but usually, and I think you guys all know this, the more opposition you encounter as you're trying to be obedient, the more important it is to follow through. And so my example, just a few years ago, you know, I really felt like I needed to go to a funeral for a friend of ours. Her husband had passed away, and I hadn't seen her for like 3 years. And you know how it is at a funeral, you really don't even know if you're going to see the family on funeral day, right? They got a few other things on their mind. But okay, you know, Lord, you want me to go to this funeral? It's in the middle of the day. Well, that's inconvenient, but whatever. I'm going to go. I know enough. I've grown up enough in Christ to know that if you want me to be there, I need to be there. And then, of course, what happens right after that? Everything goes wrong, right? All morning long, this is wrong, that's wrong. Something happens. You can't be there. And so I'm power walking through the parking lot trying to get there, you know, 9:59, and walk in the door, and here she is. Walks right in front of me in the lobby. Hi, Jeff. Hi. I'm really sorry about, you know, your husband. Oh, thank you. And so you think God doesn't orchestrate that? Think he doesn't orchestrate me being right there at that time, her going across? And why does he do that? Well, for me, wow, Lord, I was obedient and I did good for her. I got the chance to be Jesus, you know, hands and feet there, right? And so those things that he does for us are never just about us, right? They're never just about that other person. God's always bigger than just one thing, right? Mm-hmm. always bigger than one thing. You've heard the stories today, right? It's not just about going there for Evelyn. It's Evelyn and then Ellen. It's not just about going to the hospital with COVID, even though you're brain dead. Right? You're going there to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Right? That's wherever we go. That's what he's given us to do. Right? So, so what gifts has God given to me then? Well, the first is he's given himself, right? You know, we're separated from God. We can all think, and somewhat wrongly, that we're children of God. Well, no, right? We're not children of God until we believe in his son, Jesus Christ, right? We all belong to God, but we're not in his family until we believe. So he's given himself to us. If not, we'd be separated from him, right? So he's given his son, Jesus Christ, right? Jesus Christ died for us and rose again. He did that for us, right? He didn't need to do it for himself. But that's a gift that he gave us. He's given me freedom from my sin, right? I'm not a slave to sin anymore, as so many can be. And some of you have experienced that, being a slave to sin. And you know what I'm talking about. And I did too when I was in my drinking days. You know what? You know when you start, it flips. It's fun for a while, and then it ain't just fun no more, right? You're a slave to it. You can't beat it anymore. So, and then he's given us the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's given us the gift of his word and the Bible. Right, and sometimes when I'm crying out, God, I need a word, you know, he just has to remind me, I wrote it down. I gave you the Bible. You don't need like this great fiery bush in front of you. You need to open up your Bible and read my word. But then it's not just about reading, it's about living it, right? You can read all the words, you can do it all day long, but if you don't believe and you don't live it out, right, that says that you don't really understand what Jesus did for you. And some days, and then I have other gifts too. I have my gift of my family. I have the gift of other believers. You know, I have the gift of telling other people about him and his son. And some days, those don't feel like gifts. Right? If I'm honest with you, some days those don't feel like gifts because it's more of a weight than anything. And if I don't remember the first gifts that he gave me, that he gave me his son, that he gave me himself, that he gave me freedom from my sins, that he gave me his word, that he gave me his spirit, all of a sudden, those gifts that he's given me don't feel like gifts anymore. But they are. They're gifts from him, right? Even when it's tough, they're gifts from God. So really, that's what Christmas is about right now, isn't it? It's the greatest gift we've ever been in is Jesus Christ. That he came down from heaven, humbled himself to be a man, to die for our sins. Now, that's the greatest gift we can ever have. And we never want to forget that any time of the year, but especially we have multiple opportunities right now, don't we? There's been a lot of stuff tacked on Christmas, right? Trees and wreaths and family is the most important. No, the most important thing about Christmas is Jesus Christ, that he came and died for us. It was a fulfillment of God's promise all the way back to the original sin that he would send a Messiah. And so if he sent one for all of us, we better figure that we need one, right? And that's the point when we're talking to people right now. Just to make sure, when they're telling us, how can you believe in God? Well, here's why I believe in God. You know, really, if you want to trace back the history of Jesus Christ, he'll be there. You know, there's plenty of evidence for Jesus Christ. We're talking about that Wednesday night. There's all sorts of evidence for Jesus Christ. But it's a matter, do you want to believe it or not? That's what it's going to come down to. Okay? All right, and that's where our testimony comes in. All right, testimony isn't really about us, is it? Our testimony is about what God's done for us. Otherwise, my testimony could be better than Crystal's testimony. My testimony could be better than Mindy's testimony. But my testimony isn't about me. It's about what God's done. He's done that for every one of us in here, died for you, and rose again for you. Right? That's our testimony. This is what God did for me. Everything else after that is what God has done in your life, but this is what God did for me. Right? There's no greater story that any one of you have right here than that you were dead and now you're alive. That's the power of Jesus Christ. You were dead and now you're alive. And those people you see that don't know Jesus, they're dead too. And that should break your heart that they don't know him yet. And that some people will reject him, but our job is still to make sure we're proclaiming him and God will take care of the rest. Whether it's someone that's about to jump off a bridge after their shift that night, or someone that takes, you know, to the very last day or the very last breath. Either way, God wants them all, doesn't he? He wants them all. But it's up to us. He lets us have that ability to preach to them. So, and how long is for is it? It's eternal, right? Eternal life, forever. So there's a lot at stake here. Right? There's a lot at stake for each one of us, for our friends, for our families. It's eternal, forever. So the gift we have is the same for the believers and the non-believers. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we have to make sure we're ready to be clear about those things. Because when we get scared, or we get tired, or we let ourselves get arrogant, all of a sudden it can be easy not to talk about him anymore.
Amen.
Right? It can be easy. And not because we mean to be. You can get tired, and all of a sudden it's just easier not to do things, right? For a little bit. And then God always prompts you back, no, right? Have you been obedient to the point of death on a cross? Ooh, sorry, God. I didn't quite get there yet, but I'll go back again, right? Try it again. So if you all got your Bibles, if we could turn together to 1 Peter, and specifically I'll say for the people that are up here in the circle today, 1 Peter chapter 4. So 1 Peter chapter 4. And it's going to be verses 8 through 22. Make sure I got it right here. Verses 8 through 22. All right. So 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 22. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Christ Jesus. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to the faithful Creator while doing good. All right. And the other thing that we always remember, and it's from, I think, 2 Peter, is be ready all the time to give the message of hope that you have inside of you. Right? You have hope that no one else has out there anywhere in the world, because you have God. You know, without God, all hope is just temporary, really. But our hope is eternal. So we just want to be ready to tell people about the gift that we've been given in Jesus Christ. So what gift of encouragement do I have for you? The gift that we can be obedient together, right? And that we have to remember the hope that we have is an eternal hope, and one that won't fail, always keeps his promises, always know what he's going to do, and we have a promise that he's going to come back. And the same promise that he kept when Jesus Christ showed up, Jesus Christ is going to show up again. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.